And it's an honor to have Dad show up to see what's going on. And I want to thank you for inviting me, and enjoyed the good songs today. It's good worship today. And some of my faves, the old ones, the old songs. I've got a word today. I've actually preached this text probably 30 years ago, and or longer. And I don't actually write it all down every time, but I'm not preaching this same message. It's a different text. And there is a place that I believe that we as a people, and when I say we as a people, Christians in general, are, and I believe that we are fastly moving toward an event that for almost 50 years that I have preached about, and Dad has spoken of it many, many years. I believe we are headed toward the coming of the Lord. Now, there are people that will say, no, I don't think so. I think he's delayed his coming. And the Bible says there would actually be people who would say that at this particular time, that he surely has delayed his coming. But I believe we are fastly moving toward that event. And I believe that many of us, even sitting in this room, will actually see that. Maybe some older ones will get to see that because of the events that are taking place around the world, in Israel in particular. And just so you'll understand, when you see the word Israel, those are the people that God selected. They're a hand-picked bunch of people living in the desert that God selected for his son to be born in that family, in that group. They are blessed by the Lord. Whether you want to hear that or not, they are blessed by the Lord. They're chosen by the Lord. Anytime you see the word Israel, you can actually, because of what Christ has done, because of his actions when his ministry here on earth, we are now the Christians, the people who are named by the name of the Lord, the people who are Christians have accepted Jesus into their life. Hopefully everyone here has already done that. And if you haven't, we can fix that in just about 5 minutes. We can take care of that. But anytime you see the word Israel or the church, those two are actually the same things. Think on that just a second. Because we have been engrafted, the people of named by the name of the Lord, Jesus, the Christians, have been engrafted into the commonwealth of Israel, and the blessings that are on Israel, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that... Uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that. I've kind of got ahead of myself just a second, but I'm going to get back to that. We are connected in many, many ways. Oftentimes when events are taking place in Israel's history in the modern day, you will see something happen in the church. There'll be a revival breakout when something happens in Israel. It's like they coincide all through history. I'm excited about that, and I'll tell you why. Because when the things are happening in Israel today, that means something's going to happen in the church today. There is a revival that has broken out around the world. There's a revival that has taken place that I actually have been watching from a long ways off and praying for those individuals that are going around the world and preaching the gospel into some of those nations where one of our guys, the Vineyard guys, Robbie Dawkins, just got back from Pakistan. And he went and preached the gospel there in Pakistan. One of the worst nations to be involved in, he went there. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to Christ. Some dead have been raised. Woo! Yeah. Glory! Now, I'll tell you, it kind of messes up our scientific minds when we say, well, they were dead for 25 minutes and they came back to life. Or they were dead for an hour and a half and they came back to life. Our scientific mind says, well, you know, that's really not possible because, you know, when you lose your oxygen to your brain. With men, all these things are impossible. But with God, there's not anything that's impossible. That'll mess up your scientific philosophy. Jesus likes to mess up our scientific stuff. Our finite minds, he likes to mess with our heads in a good way. Turn in your Bibles, if you want to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to pull away. I saw I won't trip over the stage. Matthew chapter 16. Anybody got a Bible? I don't hear too many pages turning, but anybody got a Bible with him? All ready? Well, why don't I turn there too? That'd be all right. And I'm going to, in this lesson today, let's read it and I'll tell you about it. And Jesus came to the coast, verse 13, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say you are John the Baptist, some say Elijah, or others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, you know, he's always kind of the outspoken one. He just kind of opens his mouth real quick. Like sometimes he don't run through the filter. He just says stuff. None of us ever do that. Anyway, he says, we say you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonas, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter. His name used to be Cephas, but now it's Petra. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I want to go ahead and clarify before we go too far along. When Jesus says to Peter, your name is Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church, he's not talking about Peter being the rock. His name was Rock, but it's under the words right before here in verse 17, or the words, I believe it's 17. Yes, 17. The words where he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father revealed this to you. The revelation knowledge about who the Son of God is, who the rock is, and what the rock is revealed in verse 17. It's revelation knowledge. Then it comes to you because the Father has revealed this to you. Amen. I want to clear that up before we get to, well, he's saying that the Peter is the rock and the church is built on Peter and blah, blah, blah. And I know it's wrong. It's revelation knowledge. Now, here's what I want us to understand. And my prayer today is this. And I feel the power and the presence of Holy Spirit when I say this. He wants to reveal himself to us. It's not just who that Jesus is, but who we are as believers, as blood washed, born again, spirit filled, amen, people of God. You didn't say amen when I did, but that's okay. A few years ago, we went to the Methodist church in Aniana. And they had a little fan, one of the little funeral home fans. And so what I did was I took the funeral home fan and I took a piece of paper and I overlaid it and I wrote with a big fat Sharpie, amen. So every time they would get to a place where it said, I think they need to say amen. Amen means actually, so be it done unto me as you will. So I just said, there's your sign. There's your sign. So you don't have to say amen. It's not for my benefit because Holy Spirit anoints me, not the amens. But I will tell you that it's good for your benefit because when you say amen, you say, yes, I believe that, and so be it done unto me as you will, Lord. That's what it means. All righty. Let's see where I'm at. Upon this principle, revelation knowledge, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then he says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I listened one day to a radio preacher talk about this particular scripture, and he was saying, before I got too wound up with it, I turned it over to a rock station and listened to something that was more uplifting. He said, this is not about today's church. This is something that was only in the early church. And I said, nonsense. I flipped that thing. I want to hear rock music. It's a whole lot better and more uplifting and more faith building than that. Because it's the power of our words, the things that come out of our hearts, that makes a difference. Many times I have prayed over issues and people and things and circumstances and churches, and I would pray a prayer that bound something that was keeping them from being in the thing that they're called to do and God ordained for them to do. I have prayed over them and bound things off of people, and God would honor that. And many times I have prayed over people and loosed things on them that God had intended for them to be, but something was holding them back, and I would pray the Lord to release his power on them, or release the healing on them, or release the anointing on them, and we would pray and the Lord would do. Am I too loud? If I get too loud, you can turn me down. I actually don't have to have a microphone, but I think they record something. My prayer today is that we will begin to understand who we are in Christ. There's several scriptures, and I don't really like to just stand and read scripture, but it's because I'm being attention deficit. I have issues with that, but I want to read some scriptures to you, or some tell you some stories about some things that are happening in the text. Revelation chapter 1 says this. Let's go over there real quick. I found a new use for Pokemon cards. You can use them for bookmarks in your Bible. They stick real good. Revelation, that's the wrong Pokemon card. Wait a minute. I got to put this one back and get another one. I hate Pokemon, but Ben likes Pokemon, so I like Pokemon. Verse 5. That'll mess up people. Don't listen to that. This is Jesus speaking to the church. He's writing it through John. John's on the Isle of Patmos. He's been exiled. They sent him there to die, where all the crazy people go to die. John's there. And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, let me see a man. Yes. And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The reason I read this scripture here is because he is wanting us to understand that we just not a group of people that come together to hang out and have some coffee and some popcorn, a brownie or some donuts. Oh, by the way, don't eat the white donuts if you're going to preach, because I'm having a hard time with the white. I ate one white donut and I'm having a hard time with that thing. Don't eat the white donut. Right, make a note to yourself. Of course, I got a bottle of water. It's helping. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. I watched the movie The Passion for the Christ. Dad and I went and took some others. We went and watched that at the theater when it first came out. And it's been out a long, long, long time. But the meaning and the zip that's on that is still alive. The actual event is more alive than that. And that while he took the stripes, the scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities is a word that means our inability to stop sinning. Iniquities. Inability to stop sinning. He was bruised. He took a beating for our inability to stop sinning. So he has already paid the price for that for us. I'm trying to get us to understand. Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And I ask the question, what does Jesus say about us? I'm asking, reversing the question for us so that we'll understand not just who Jesus is, but who we are in Christ. Are you hearing me? He has made us, oh, I love this. He has made us kings, oh, thank you. Kings and, everybody want a drink of water? I'm not, it's coughing donut here. Maybe I should go on the other one, not the white one. That's so bad. He has made us, thank you very much, he has made us kings and priests. Look at the person next to you and say, hello, king. Say, hello, priest. Unto God and his Father, to him be glory, and we've given him dominion in our life forever and ever. Amen. He is calling us. What Jesus has said about us is he has purchased us with his own blood. He has, because of the stripes for our healing and for the wounded for our transgressions. Our transgression is a word that means a voluntarily transgression, or sin is a voluntary transgression of God's law. He has been wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, inability, the chastisement of our mental, of our peace. That has to do with the mind, the will, the intellect, the memory, the emotions. He will heal that because he's already paid for the price for your healing for those areas. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word here for power, let me go back there real quick. The word here is being given to us priests and kings. The king, the word king is, he has given us a foundation of power. The actually translated word means the kings is a foundation of power to stand on. The word power there is a word, there's two words for power used in the New Testament. One's dunamis, day of Pentecost. One is authority, and the word authority is found here in this text. He has given us a foundation of power, authority to stand on, and given dominion. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? Am I lost you yet? And priest, and the word priest has to do with spiritual authority. I want to say something, but I better wait. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to go back to the other Pokemon card, the one I pulled out first. Ben will be proud of me. It's all about your grandkids anyway. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, I'm sorry. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the word sons there is a multi-gender word that means both sons and daughters. So, amen, girls. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I was hoping, I actually was about 5 o'clock this morning, 5:15, I was praying. And I said, Lord, if it be your will, have the band to sing, I am no longer a slave to fear. Why don't we do that? Is that uncommon? I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Anybody ever heard that song before? I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Anybody get Bethel music on your satellite? I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I got fired at the church because I made declarations. And I said, you have not because you ask not. They didn't like it because I made declarations. And I kept making them anyhow. And later on, I got terminated because I liked making declarations. This song here is a declaration. And this word here is a declaration for us. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. Now see, every time I see that word, I want to sing that song, but I'm going to try to resist this time. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, or Dad, Father. In the Jewish culture, when a natural-born son could actually lose his inheritance. But when you have an adopted son or daughter, cannot lose their inheritance. It cannot be taken away from them. Hello, adoptees. That's actually good news for me. You know what I'm saying? It's really good for me. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. My goal today is that we understand when we leave here that we're just not a group of people that just come and hang out and sing a few songs, throw in a couple of dollars, but we are a people that are called the children of God. We've been invited into something that is worldwide, it's global, it's a good thing. We've been invited into a revival. Well, there goes my notes. We've been invited into a revival spirit. We've been invited to an outpouring of God. We've been invited to be the children of God. I say, let's be the children of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Now my notes are all messed up. It's okay. I poured coffee on this morning. I started to do my thing like the movie The Jerk when he goes up. When he looks at the movie and he's got some water spilled all over, he says, he can't. I tried to do that, but I won't do it. Actually, I did it. We're the children of God. We're heirs of his promise, heirs of God, and we are, according to this scripture here, we are joint heirs with Christ. Verse 17, if we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. Be encouraged by that word. We are heirs. I told somebody the other day, I was at Lowe's buying some stuff for one of our projects, and I spent like $100. And I said, I'm going to spend the rest of my son's inheritance today. Both dollars. But God's inheritance that we receive from our Father is much greater than this. What is our inheritance that He's given us? He has listed all of that in the text. This is His last will and testament. It's written here for us, only for the taking. I heard this preacher say, I don't know what his name is, he said, I am what everything in this book says I am. I want to do what everything this book says that I can do. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me. The inheritance that He has for me as a child of God, I have full intention of grabbing every bit of it I can get. Hallelujah. Now, okay, it's time to drink. Belly up. I'll leave the lid off, it'd be easier. Then I'll spill it everywhere. We have a rich inheritance as a church. Let me explain that to you. This movement, how many of you been in the Vineyard very long? How many? Okay, been 5 years. More than five? Okay. There is a, this movement was birthed in power. In the Jesus People movement back in the 70s and 80s, a group of people in California, a lot of were movie stars and rock band people, came to Christ. And out of that group came several different movements, one of which was the Vineyard. The Lord is jealous for the Vineyard. That's a good word. It's a godly, holy jealousy. The thing that we were birthed in was power evangelism, power healing, signs and wonders. And this is not being critical, but it's only sort of an observation. Being a Vineyard pastor for a number of years, I often wonder where the signs went. Oh. My prayer is this. Today, I'm going to pray over you guys and myself, and I'm preaching this word not to you, I'm preaching this word with you. I'm preaching to me as well as to you. Do you hear me? I'm not speaking as someone who's arrived and been there. I've been someone who's not arrived, don't know where I'm going, don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what's going on, but I know it's a good thing when God does something, and I want to be involved in that. That's what I want to stick my name on, what God's doing. This was reaped, this birth in a during the Jesus People, signs and wonders, power healing, power evangelism. The word we heard back in those days was that God uses average, ordinary people to do extraordinary, above average feats of miraculous. We saw that early on. We saw God do stuff. I witnessed it. I went there. I was in California and Denver and all the places. I went there. Physically saw what God was doing. And I said to myself, yes, that's good. And I saw the sign at Aurora, Colorado. I saw the sign on in front of a Vineyard church that said, come as you are, you'll be loved. I said, I always was that. I didn't have a label or a name or description to put on it. I didn't want to dress up. I hated dressing up. I just wanted to go and hang out with God's people. Amen. I find out some of them are not really all that nice. Amen. If you make a declaration, they'll run you off. And they get to pay for that later. Our root is in doing the stuff. It's in our DNA. About 2 years ago, two summers ago, I spent the whole, two Septembers ago, I spent the whole summer, time we were at the beach. I didn't really care. I like going to the beach. I don't care about getting out on the beach. So I'm up at about 7th floor, and I'm looking out over the ocean with the laptop, free Wi-Fi. That's a good, if anybody says free Wi-Fi, I'm there. Okay, I don't care if you're getting breakfast or not. Free Wi-Fi, I'm good. Anyway, I've got free Wi-Fi, and I'm sitting there at the thing, and I'm looking, doing Ancestry.com. I signed up for it, and we got the thing. And I found out all my history. I know where everybody came from. I chased them back down to about the 1600, 1700 on one side and a little bit further on the others, and I found them all up in all farmers. A lot of them were cotton mill workers. It was in my DNA. One thing happened along about a bunch of years ago. Dad was in the cotton mill, and he had a vision. Nobody says, somebody might say, well, God don't do that no more. It's only in the Old Testament. Well, you just don't know about your Bible. You don't know the God we serve. He had a vision, and the Lord called him into the ministry, called him out of the cotton mill into the field. There's some people got the word, they saw the handwriting in the clouds, GP. And they thought it meant go preach, and it really meant go plow. But his was GP, go preach. And that changed our inheritance. So I get to go preach because he did. Amen. There's an impartation that goes with all that. Hallelujah. I'm happy about that. And there's DNA in us. There's a release of the prophetic. There's gifts of the Spirit at work in all the believers. I got to hurry up. I'm only on page 4. The Word says that he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God and daughters. Today we are in the Jewish year. Remember I told you, things happen in Israel coincide with stuff happening in the church. Y'all remember that? Were y'all awake that time? Okay. We're in the year 5777. We're in the year of 5777. That equates to 2017. In the numbers, if you'll look in the text and you do some research, I'm not into numerology. I don't like that. But I am when it has to do with the scriptures, because oftentimes one number in this text has something to do with the number that's in that text. They coincide. They work together. They interlock. We are in a time in 2017. It says that, let me get my glasses. I'm going to read this right here. Historically, this is 2017, and historically, the 17th month. On the 17th day of Nisan is the moment that God raised Jesus from the dead on 17. 17, the number, is a word that means overcoming the enemy. Complete victory. If you the meanings of that number means overcoming the enemy. When Christ was raised from the dead on 17th of Nisan, he overcame death and hell and the grave and Satan. In 2017, he has given us the authority and to overcome the enemy. There's people that the enemies and things that we fight and habits, structures that we fight all of our lives, some of us. And in 2017, the time that we're living in right now is the time that God wants us to understand that we can walk free from all the things that have held us back all these years and all this time. 2017, overcoming the enemy and a complete victory in that word, 17. The number 7 is a number for perfection or maturity. The word 9, today's date is number 7 and 9 and 17. And we are walking in a place of complete. We're going to walk, some of us are going to walk out of the place of failure temptation, things holding us back, things that's been around our feet and around our ankles. He wants to set us free so that we walk free and no longer held back by the things of the enemy. No longer held back by fear. No longer held back by sin. No longer held back by habit. No longer held back by anything. He wants us to walk free in Jesus' name. Also, this year is the year of Jubilee. Now, if you know anything about Jewish culture, and I'm actually only learning, so I'm a student, not necessarily an authority. But I will tell you what I paid attention to one time when someone was talking about their year of Jubilee. It is the year in Jewish history, all through the years, all through the decades, all through the centuries, the year of Jubilee is the year that the slaves go free. It is the year that bondages fall off. It's the year that things that hold people back is set off. My prayer is this. Pastor Jim, this church was organized and established in power evangelism. It was ordained before God. When Wimber first started doing this stuff, and Ken Gullicks and those guys began to do the works in Jesus back in the days in California, and it spread like wildfire all over to the south in Florida, and got in here, and it landed here in Gadsden, in Jim's living room. Is that right? In the living room. God showed up. My prayer is this, that afresh and anew, let God pour your spirit out like it used to be, and He wants to do it more so than it was in the latter part of this outpouring of God is going to be greater than the first one. Hallelujah. Anybody got feeling Holy Spirit anywhere at all? It's also a year that relationships are mended. Wow. It's also a year, I love this one here. It's also a year that stuff got stolen had to come back home. I'm not talking about your housekeeper stole your ring or your $5 off the counter. I'm talking about spiritual stuff. The enemy comes for two things. To steal. Three things. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come. That they, who is they? Who is they? We! It's us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy, and I am come, Jesus said, that they, those one that are listening to me today, might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what He wants for us. Okay. I had a picture, a mental picture in my mind of someone who would... who said that they were really tired of being the victim and wanted to be a victor. The Lord wants to send victory to you. And what I want to do before we pray for anyone in particular, if you don't mind, I've spoken way longer than I intended to, but I want to pray over us. And when I say us, I don't mean I'm praying, I know everything and I don't know anything. I'm praying over you and us, all of us. If you would stand and I know you're tired. You've been sitting there for like 30 minutes or so for me to share that. I'm not tired. I'm 65 next Tuesday. I'm not tired. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share today. If you will, hold your hands out like you're going to receive something, unless you just don't want to. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to share today, and I thank you because you placed in my heart, we know who you are. You're the Son of a living God. You're the Most High God. We want to know who we are. Lord, would you help us to understand who we are in Christ? Who we are, what we're called to, what you've got in store for us. Lord, everything that you had me write down on the paper today, I ask you, Lord, that you would release that in us today, in this fellowship. Let it be like a new thing that happens in this fellowship, a new revival, an outpouring of your Spirit, a refreshing. Let the time of refreshing come. Let it happen, Lord. Let it happen today, Lord. Beginning now, Lord, let it be from now on, from the time until the trumpet blasts and we're all out of here. Lord, that you would just let your Spirit fall afresh and anew in this fellowship. Let it be new. Let it be powerful. Let it come again, Lord. We change our minds about what we think it ought to be like. We repent. We repent today, Lord, for the things that we thought it ought to be like. Make it like a new thing for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody said,
amen.
If you need prayer for something today, you want to come this way, and somebody will pray for you. And you got some music to get healed by?